Over 30 years of advice for your house, home, castle, or cabin.
Y'all have things you want to get done.
It's Rosie on the House.
Ten o'clock, the open home hour. It's open to you, the Arizona homeowner, whatever you'd like to talk about, your home, castle, or cabin. 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. You can text, when the auto attendant answers, just hit 1, bypass the message. That'll get you straight into the studio. And then we'll get you on air as fast as we can. You can text questions to 411-923, and you can also email info@rosieonthehouse.com if you'd like to talk about anything and everything related to your home, castle, or cabin.
I guess this is our Father's Day edition of Rosie on the House, because next week it'll be the Father's Day. So we mentioned it earlier. At rosieonthehouse.com, we have a store of some really cool things you might want to order for your dad for Father's Day. But if you want it for Father's Day, you need to order it today, okay? But the tool of the week is we were sent a manual knife sharpener. And I love mine. And then I guess the people who invented that then came out with a power.
Well, they had the power one.
Oh, they did.
And Jen asked me about it. I'm like, no, it's too expensive. You know, we like to keep everything 50 or below on the e-store. And these sharpeners are like 150.
Oh, I see.
The electric ones. But after we got the manual one and
it worked so good.
Well, and talked about it, and we had people started returning it saying, no, my hands are too weak. I can't.
Oh.
It's not that you needed any extra grip, but just elderly people. If it was electric, I'd buy it. So we turned and I said, well, all right, I guess we're getting the electric one. So we added that to the line. It is about $150, but it will sharpen everything. And it comes with all these different belts that are very easy to put on and take off for different size sharpeners. And it tells you when you're looking at it, all right, use the purple belt for a straight blade. If you've got a serrated blade,
it'll even sharpen serrated blades.
It will.
That's cool.
And I've sharpened my pruners, my clippers, my sickle, my lawnmower blades, my pocket knife, my kitchen knives, and it has a guide on it. So whatever type of blade you're doing, you know, you put these attachments on it so it doesn't take any special kind of, you know, angling. You just put it on the preset angles and drag it across.
I like it.
This
very
belt.
Sharp, very clever, so very sharp. Get it, very sharp.
It's the Work Sharp electric knife sharpener, and like I said, we do have a manual one that's $50.
I like that one. I sit on the back patio and just till I can slice paper.
So, just a couple of the features. We're featuring the electric sharpener this month put a little video together on it, because it's extremely easy once you get it unwrapped out of the box.
Just an idea for you at rosieonthehouse.com. We've got Jim on hold. Jim, hold on 1 second. I want to cover one thing, and we're going to go straight to your call. We do have open lines if y'all would like to call, 1-888-767-4348. We started what was called the Arizona Sanderson Ford Staycation back in about 2010, okay? And we've been sending y'all winners that we draw every month on an Arizona staycation. Well, the pandemic kind of put a stop to that. People were afraid to travel. A lot of the lodging facilities we were partnered with were either operating at an extremely reduced capacity. A lot of the bed and breakfasts just shut down VRBOs. All the same. Well, all of that now is beginning to reopen. So we are now instigating and getting people back engaged. We've been doing the staycation winner every month. Everybody's just
They just haven't gone anywhere yet.
They've just been taking an IOU. You know, okay, you can reclaim this whenever you're comfortable going. Well, this particular winner is going up to Snowflake, Arizona, and they're going to be staying in the Heritage Bed and Breakfast, which was built in 1890 as a Victorian pioneer home and is now being run as just a gorgeous, completely accessorized, gorgeous Victorian home in Snowflake. And that puts you in a corner of Arizona. I mean, you could go out and you could see Canyon de Chelly. You could see Homolivi, Casamalp Ice. You could go down to the Blue River. I mean, there's so many things you can do from right there in Snowflake. It's a great boat. Just hang out on the patio and enjoy the rose garden that you're completely surrounded by.
I was disappointed our rodeo got canceled. We were supposed to be there in May, and we had the standalone bed and breakfast room. There's the units inside the home, and then you could actually get like the little casita in the back. And because we had the kids with us and we'd be leaving earlier and getting home later than a lot of the other guests.
That's
right. We got the standalone one just to not create. But when the rodeo got canceled, we canceled it as well. So we almost got to go to the Heritage Inn, but not yet. So it lines up with the rodeo weekend. You'll always talk about Prescott, the 4th of July rodeo, and what a big deal that is. Well, Taylor has a pretty big 4th of July rodeo as well, and so you're going to be able to go experience that if you'd like. And
well, and then you get to see the anvil shoot.
is that on the 4th of July too?
Yes. Oh. It's either in Taylor or Snowflake, but it's the annual.
That's like saying Heber Overgard. Just right next to each other.
The anvil, that's on my to-do list. I want to see them take dynamite and blow an anvil in the sky. I got to see that.
Go to the rodeo and go to the anvil toss.
There you go. Well, let's see if we could go to Jim here real quick, who's been on hold while we covered all this material. Good morning, Jim. How can we help you, my friend?
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I own about 3 acres in Waddell, and it's an orchard. And I'm trying to increase the wildlife in the surrounding areas, around the orchard and trees, and encourage quail and rabbits and everything. And I tried to contact the state. There is not one agency in the state that I know of that will help, assist, come out, kick the soil, do whatever. I contacted county. The county, I just found out, they split off the county extension office and only had, and they split into two jobs. One is run by a horticulturist, and nobody cares about, animals,
Jim,
or anything.
Jim, I think we can help you out.
Okay.
I think what we're going to need to do is get your address offline and take a look at you from Google Earth and see what is in the immediate surrounding. 3 acres is a good start, but we need to know there's enough support neighboring habitat to really create a successful preserve. And I have enough contacts at Arizona Game and Fish. I can lean on one of them to go out to the Carefree Highway office, pick them up, fix them a ham and cheese sandwich, and drive them out to your house and at least have them put the eye of experience on your property. I know we can do at least that much. Would that help you out?
That would help me out. But here's another thing. I have a piece of property across the street that was deeded to us, 17 feet by 650. So what I did was I'm planting trees in there. I'm up to 150, and all 150 have to be hand-watered.
Ooh.
So I got only about 500 more to go, and I should have a whole day just doing nothing but water. And I'm sure there's a way I could, conservation-wise, use the irrigation, whatever, to get water out there. There is no agency. I'm very disappointed the county, the state, everything. But if you know of somebody in Game and Fish, I couldn't find that person.
They can do a wildlife assessment of what you could expect to see and how you might encourage them to show up. You got to make sure your neighbors are all on board, because you wouldn't want, 3 acres is a nice size lot for a residential lot to kind of have some elbow room. but it isn't enough area for the coyotes and the bobcats and whatever else and the javelina that might wander in. Even some mule deer out there in Waddell, for sure.
I wouldn't do anything to encourage rabbits.
You'll
never get rid of them, and that will bring in, you know, a lot more of your hunters. You know, you mentioned bobcats and coyotes and stuff than a herd of quail will. But yeah, Waddell's got some really great properties on it. It's all irrigated.
All right.
Lots are all at least an acre and a quarter, like he said. There's some on there that are on 5-10 acres.
What
really
I want to know is
trees.
How long
properties.
Does it take to hand water 150 trees?
It sounded like he was taking all day. Certainly, there's something we can do to figure that out.
That's not going to be sustainable long.
Did you mention to him the National Wildlife Federation?
I did not.
That's a really nice. In our neighborhood, there's a yard.
Yes,
and they've
there
got
is,
an acre,
that's right.
And they put the little sign out there, but. Jim, just give them a look on the website, nwf.org. They kind of guide three people through that, kind of what you're thinking. Probably not on the scale, but it might be a good start and a good resource for you.
Well, there you go. It's all about keeping wildlife wild, though, Jim. That's what you've got to remember. We're admiring them, observing them. But not domesticating them. There's a big difference there.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Hit 1. When the auto attendant answers, that'll bypass the message and get you straight into the studio for screening. And we're going to move up to Copper Basin and talk to Mr. Johnson. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Go ahead.
Yes. I was calling in reference to I live in Copper Basin in the Santan Valley, and I was looking at a more less expensive way to do my backyard. Right now, my backyard is just all dirt, and I wanted to put some rock back there, also with some synthetic grass. And I was looking at a more conservative, less expensive way. Then I've gotten some estimates of getting it done by professionals, and I was wondering what. I was told by someone who has done the yard before, but they perforated mat and didn't put the rocks down on that and put down some weed killer first to kill the weeds that they would stay killed for dead for about 14 months, and then a process of putting down the synthetic grass. And I was just wanting your opinion about that.
All right. Hold on. We're going to have to take a short break. We'll come back and finish answering your question, Mr. Johnson in Copper Basin, on can synthetic turf be considered a do-it-yourself project when we get back.